The Kickoff.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Tony Scott from the Liverpool Echo and look at the World Cup and also fixtures as well released yesterday. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, Jose Mourinho kicking off about Liverpool's fixtures. He's always one to find a problem with something. So he's looked at what Liverpool have been handed and says that they've been given an unfair advantage for their fixtures that surround their Champions League group matches next season. So Jürgen's side have got six home games in the weekend slots that follow Champions League group matches, while United, City and Tottenham have all got an even split of three home and three away. And he says that is a massive unfair advantage. Is he being a little bit pernickety here?
He's a bit like myself, Mourinho. He loves a moan, doesn't he? I just think, so what he's saying is right, really. Obviously, he's the opposition manager of Manchester United, and he's going to look for everything in his favour this season coming up. And if he's looking at Liverpool have been dealt a really good hand there. I mean, you're looking at Champions League football. We know how difficult it is, especially coming back on the Champions League. And Liverpool's record of coming back from Champions League games as well, especially playing straight away, isn't the best. And there's not many teams in England as well that have got a decent record, because don't forget the high intensity of Premier League football is difficult when you're coming straight back from Champions League during the week. So I think that Liverpool have been dealt a good hand there in regards to the fixtures. And Everton as well, we're looking at Everton's fixtures as well, Steve. Out of the first 11 games, they only hit Manchester United out of the top five. Yeah, having said that, they have got a difficult December when they're playing Liverpool, Manchester City and Spurs. But listen, with no European football for Everton this season, it's going to help them. All the teams above them have got European football, and the likes of Burnley have got Europa League football. So it's going to be difficult for all these teams above them that have got European football during the week and having to play Premier League football over the weekend. But Liverpool have been dealt a good hand there when regards to returning from Champions League football.
Well, you mentioned Everton as well, and actually there is a lot to be said for having an apparent easier start on paper. If you go back to last season, you see what damage it did to Ronald Koeman, to Everton, to the fans. You had a horrible first month and a half, didn't you? I mean, this couldn't be more contrasting.
Oh, yeah. Listen, the fixture Everton had of the first six games last season was horrendous. They played Stoke on the opening day, got that victory, and then they went to Manchester City away and obviously drew. But then on from there, they played Manchester United, they played Tottenham. It was horrendous. I think they played I'm right in saying, Steve, they played the top six of the first seven games. An horrendous fixture list. And that's what basically killed Ronald Koeman off. He never recovered from that. Add to that as well, the European trips, the qualifying rounds for the Europa League, the Limassols of the world. And it was just really tough on the squad. And he never, ever really got going. And he obviously was sacked in October and we live to fight another day. But that's what I'm trying to say, Steve, is that it's so difficult having to juggle European football with Premier League football. You need big squads. And it's great when everyone's saying we need players. And you can see why both Everton and Liverpool fans, because everyone picks their best 11 out their squads, but you need two players in each position. I know Everton have got a big squad at the moment and they're trying to reduce it because they're like 35, 36 first-team players. So it's horrendous. Everton need to get players off the wage bill. But having said what I've just said, they need to reduce it. So they've got no European football this season, so there's no need for them 35 players. The teams above them, like Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, etc., they've got European football and they'll need the big squads.
I think you pointed out on the fixture front on your social media yesterday that Grand National Day has Everton with the home fixture currently, which is against who? I can't remember. Was it Arsenal?
Arsenal,
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on that front.
Yeah, they'll probably change it. It'll probably get changed. We've seen this year, Liverpool played at a 5:30 kickoff straight after the Grand National had finished. So I hope not for my sake, Steve, because I'd like to go to a boat. But having said that, I think it'll be Everton will get changed to the Saturday early kickoff. Or having said that, if Arsenal are still involved in the Europa League, then obviously Everton will be playing Arsenal on the Sunday at Goodison Park. So I'll be hoping that's the latter, really.
Right, let's turn to the World Cup. Did you have your eyes on Russia against an apparent football team called Saudi Arabia yesterday?
I did. They weren't a football team at all.
I think the Bramley Moore could have taken them on.
Easy. And give them an handicap start as well of two goals. It was just absolutely appalling how they could just have 10 men flying forward and leave themselves wide open at the back. You look at it, is this actually real? And by the way, Steve, Russia are a poor team. Russia are a poor team, and even though they put five past them yesterday, I still can't see them getting anywhere near past the last 16. I'd be surprised if they actually qualified from the group. They're a poor team, Russia. I know Saudi Arabia. I look at Russia, and this is the worst Russian team of modern history. It's poor. I think they had 1 in 7 friendlies. There's no quality in the squad. They finished bottom. Don't forget, Steve, they finished bottom at the Euro 2016 group with Wales and Slovakia and England. Don't forget. So, and they're a very aging squad as well, this Russian team. And I was very, very surprised what they did yesterday. But having said that, that was a poor, poor Saudi Arabian team.
Oh, I mean, the third goal was hilarious. So they brought on the sub rusher. I can't remember who it was. Big sort of battling centre forward. It was his first touch, and he headed the ball in, but the defender in front of him just crumbled like a deck of cards. I don't think we'll see a worse team than Saudi Arabia. I think you can lay that on the line right now.
Panama will take some beating, Steve, as well. When you see Panama in England's group, they're a poor outfit as well. I know Panama, they're national sports. Baseball, they declared a bank holiday as soon as they qualified. Did they finish fourth in their qualifying? And if I'm right in saying, I'm sure Panama actually conceded more goals than they actually scored in qualifying. They're a poor outfit as well. Two of the poorest teams in the competition. But having said that, it just shows you what ratings and everything and rankings make. Because Russia are the worst team in rankings, 70th out of everyone in the World Cup. So it just shows you what rankings mean. They actually mean absolutely nothing.
Right, let's have a look at England then. So I think we've been given a glimpse of what we're going to get when they face Tunisia. Jordan Pickford in goal. Walker, Stones, Maguire as the three at the back. On the right wing, Trippier. Young on the left. Ali and Lingard in the middle. And then, with Jordan Henderson as the pivot. And then Kane and Sterling up front. Does this do it for you?
Yeah, I like the look of it, Steve. I really like the look of England this year. And I think I know this modern culture is our scouts, not English, but I think there's a lot of people, especially on Merseyside, and you can kind of get behind this team. They're a very likeable England team for a change. We've seen in years gone by in tournaments in the past, this golden generation with its big, massive egos and they think highly of themselves. And you can't sort of relate to them because they're your opposition, they're your rival every week. Well, this England team, they don't show that. And I think that comes from the manager as well. He speaks well. He's got the media in the palm of his hands. And you can just sense that, you know what, I like what you're doing there. You're suffering no fools. You speak well. And they're very, very likeable. England team, they're honest. And what I like about them, Steve, is that they know the system. Every single player that's in the squad know they've stuck to one system, so this is the way we're playing. But they're also adaptable as well. What's pivotal more than most, which I fully expect them, there's no pressure on this England team at all. And as I just mentioned there, in tournaments gone by, the pressure on these England players, you can sort of see it, they're dejected. It's like a nervous energy they've already used before they've gone out on the football pitch. And this is the likes of your Wayne Rooney, your Steven Gerrard, your Scholes, your Lampards. They look drained before they've actually gone out the pitch. And that's just due to the pressure of the press and the media and the public. They just can't cope with the expectation. Where this England team, they're full of energy. There's no pressure on them at all to do well. So I fully expect them to get to the quarterfinal at least, because group pages, where if they do qualify in this group, Panama, obviously, they'll finish bottom, in my opinion. Tunisia second. It'll be a great shootout between England and Belgium for first and second. And then you're playing Poland, Senegal, Colombia and Japan in the last 16. You wouldn't care who you played in that group. And then you're qualifying for the group, for quarterfinal. And it's a lottery then, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, we've got a minute to round up some of your Scotty Bet TV bets here. I know you've done a little video online, which you can access via at Scotty Bet TV on Twitter. So you've got group winners. World Cup winner for you is?
It's got to be Spain, Steve. I know the manager situation as an L, but sometimes that can galvanise countries as well. We've seen what it did to Italy when Conte left to go to Chelsea. Italy had a very good tournament. And I just feel as if you just tick every box for me, Spain. They're the best team in it. They've got the best defence, got the best goalkeeper, best midfield. Slight worry in attack with Costa up front, but the likes of Aspas, Isco can also play as a false nine. They've got quality all over the pitch, and they'll take some beating at 7-1.
Top scorer?
I'm going for Edison Cavani, a bit of each way, and Neymar, 11-1.
OK. Red cards? Any on that?
as we get to the latter stages, the desperate group stages, that's when you start, just after the group stages, that's when you get the desperation stage. So I wouldn't be surprised there's a lot of red cards towards the latter end of the tournament.
Tony Topman, thank you very much.
Cheers, Steve.
Tony Scott from Scotty Bet TV. If you want some of his precise tips, you'll find that via Scotty Bet TV on Twitter.
Rock, sport and talk.
For Liverpool, this is Radio City Talk.